Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Tonight's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the commemoration of the Lord's Passion, Good Friday, and the readings are from Cycle A.
Of all the days of the year that we celebrate, this is the one where death gets to be front and center. With the eyes of faith, we're invited to look squarely at the face of death, particularly as we recount the story of the passion and death of the Lord. In fact, we did that, some of us, up at the dish this afternoon, doing the Stations of the Cross, these 14 kind of vignettes. Remember, for much of the church's history, most members of the church have been illiterate. And before the printing press, most people couldn't have possibly owned a copy of the scriptures. So very often through time, the church has had very visual representations. This place is certainly full of them, of important stories that we might ponder. In the Stations of the Cross, we take 14 specific tableaus and we look at them, not so that we can be re-terrorized, but we can claim every moment of the life of Christ and every moment of our own lives, regardless of how ghastly, and say, when God is in it, it's good. There's goodness here. This is awful, but goodness is present. I think that really is the compassionate heart of God. You know that image of Jesus, the sacred heart of Jesus? Can you draw that picture in your head? It's usually Jesus in robes, and in the middle, kind of superimposed over maybe a white garb, is his heart on the outside, and it usually has a crown of thorns kind of woven in and out of it. And then it usually is sort of backlit with rays of light. You know that picture, don't you? Any of us that have been raised Catholic have seen that picture any number of times. And usually artists that depict it try to do so with very compassionate eyes, the eyes of the Lord looking right at you, and his heart opened up to say, there's no kind of suffering I haven't been through, dear. Whatever you are going to go through or what have been through already or are going through right now, there's a place for it in here because somehow I've already been through it. The Lord can be that kind of companion that has a kind of street cred when we know that we're going through something awful, but somebody comes to be with us who's been through it already and maybe has come out the other side of it. Compassion. I'm thinking of how, even though Jesus is God and he has a divine, infinite nature, being a human person and living one human life as he did has its constraints. And he only got to die once. But as I pondered it in preparation to speak tonight, that one death was packed with so many different experiences that I think that image of the heart, it keeps growing and expanding and expanding. See if you kind of can follow me. I was thinking of how when we think of the possibility of our own deaths, or maybe you've been with a loved one as they thought about the possibility of their death. I remember when my dad was confronted with terminal illness, he had a great sense of dread. He had Parkinson's, and the Parkinson's Society had given him this book that kind of outlined from front cover to back cover the progression of the disease. I remember him saying, I can't bear to read the end of it. So I said, well, then don't. Then don't. But he had a sense of dread, like Jesus had a sense of dread. Take this cup away from me. I don't want to go through this. So should that ever be a part of the way we think about death, our own, or that of someone we love? Jesus has been there already. I know what that dread feels like. We dread the idea of a painful death, and we hope that when somebody that we love dies, we hope that it wasn't painful. Well, his was really, really painful. If we end up having to endure a lot of pain, he can say, I've been there too, I'll be with you. We'd prefer to not have a protracted death, a long death. And yet when they came to put Jesus to death, they chose a means that was as elongated as they could get it to be. Crucifixion was intended to last. You know that detail in the story where it's getting late in the day and it's a special day tomorrow and they need to get these bodies out of here, and so they go to break the legs to kind of hasten it. The reason they needed to hasten it is because it was all set up to be long to begin with. They wanted to make a great big show of it and cause as much pain as they could. The Lord knows pain and long suffering. Sometimes I'll get an itch and I scratch myself, or I'll be uncomfortable in my bed and I'll just roll over. And once in a while I'll say, thank you that I can scratch myself. Thank you that I can roll over, because I've had loved ones who weren't able to do either one. Jesus was immobilized. Should we have a period where we can't move freely, he's been there. He's done that. He knows what it feels to be helpless, and none of us want to experience that. And we don't really want anybody we love to experience it either. But should that happen, we can be there to provide the help that someone else might need in their helplessness. Nevertheless, the Lord's been through all of that. I was thinking how one of the things that we might think about with dread with regard to death might be rejection. Have you been deeply rejected by anybody before? It's certainly a kind of death. Being betrayed by somebody you love. How often does that happen in the world? And how often does somebody dies at the hand of someone they loved? The crucified had every reason to believe that their bodies would be discarded like trash. Many of them, their families wouldn't come anywhere near them because they were criminals. Obviously, somebody in power is really, really angry at them, and the last thing you need to do is associate yourself with them. And so very often, the bodies of those crucified were just kind of trashed. The detail in the Jesus story is that somebody did step forward at great personal risk and decide to do it, and becomes known for that later on. But there are plenty of people who die abandoned and estranged and lonely and feeling like nobody will remember them, that their life is just trashed. For any such one, and if you know anybody like that, the Sacred Heart of Jesus gets a little bit bigger, because I know what that feels like. I was there. I could be with you in that. Do you ever fear the loss of your reputation? I see at Stanford, I think there's quite a lot of reputation burnishing here. And I'm not making fun of that, especially for young people trying to make their way in the world, trying to set yourself apart from the crowd and make sure that your credentials leap off the page. That's impressive stuff. It's important. But what happens after you've gone to all that trouble of establishing your reputation, either academically or morally or civically or religiously, and something turns, something happens in your life, and all of that goes away, and you lose the respect of other people? You might feel all abandoned. My God, why have you abandoned me? But the Sacred Heart of Jesus can say, oh no, I know exactly what it feels like to lose your reputation. You remember they warned him not even to go to Jerusalem. That would be the most stupid thing you could do. They tried to kill you the last time you were there. What a dumb predicament you put yourself in. He was thought to be unfaithful. He had already, early in the story, been thrown out of his hometown synagogue. But that wasn't enough. He had to go and get himself thrown out of the entire temple, the entire religion, for crying out loud. The whole nation had a reason to be able to say, crucify him. He was scandalous and dies a criminal. Some people have upright lives and do something criminal near the end and then die. and then die with the sense of lost reputation that I ruined everything. For any such person, the Sacred Heart of Jesus expands a little more and says, oh, I know exactly how you feel. I went through that too. What about unmet goals? Anybody in here very goal-oriented? Your hand went up, Chris. We've had this conversation any number of times. Ask me in the midday or late in the day, Nathan, how's your day gone? You know what I'm going to say? Terrific, I got so much done. Or not so good, I hardly got anything on my list done. Because I just wake up to this idea that God put me here to do stuff. And I pile my plate full of things to do. And I feel great when I meet my goals. And I feel like not great when there's not very many check marks on the to-do list. I don't have to do this to myself. I just seem to do it. When you die, the day you die, there are going to be some unmet goals. Somebody's going to have to throw away the pills you didn't take. There's still some left in the bottle. There'll be all kind of things on the day that we pass that didn't get done. For one thing, Jesus dies a young person, full of life, with his future all ahead of him. He was healthy earlier that week. He was healthy earlier that day. And then, before you know it, he's dead. He didn't finish what he started. In fact, if on the cross he was thinking, my Father sent me here to bring all people home to the Father, what do you suppose that felt like? He couldn't field a ball team. Nobody wanted to be around him. I think he might have had the temptation to feel colossally as though his life was completely unfinished, interrupted. Lots of people die because of some sort of victimization. Somebody did something to them and then they died. Sometimes it's political or religious violence. How many places in the world can you name right now where somebody probably died today because of religious or political violence? Or have you just stopped listening to it? Anybody for whom that's true can say, that Jesus' heart can grow a little bit larger and say, oh yeah, I got in that kind of mess too. I know what that feels like. I'm sorry that happened to you. Torture, unjust imprisonment, capital punishment, having your body penetrated angrily by somebody else without your permission in five different places, assault, and sexual shaming because he didn't die with his clothes on. And it's usually depicted in our artwork with a little loincloth. Well, that's just for modesty. There wasn't any loincloth. They did that on purpose as part of the shaming. How many people have endured some kind of death that has resonances of violence of that kind and shaming? For any such person, the heart of the Lord can grow a little bigger because he can say, I'm sorry that happened to you. Something like that happened to me. One thing that we might dread about our own deaths or the death, especially of our own, would be the idea that you really don't want to put your loved ones through whatever they might have to go through with you. You know what I mean? Wouldn't you like it if your death didn't cause very much suffering for the people that you leave behind? But we don't get to pick that. He certainly didn't. And he had to endure a death where a few people who loved him, including his mother, were there witness to the whole thing, and there was nothing he could do about that. Sometimes people feel like they've ruined not just their own life, but that of somebody they love. Sometimes they take their life or attempt to because they feel like they're putting people they love through so much suffering. The compassionate Sacred Heart of Jesus, I think, can expand even bigger and say, oh yeah, I know that feeling. I know what it is to feel like your life is causing pain for other people. Yeah, I know what that feels like. But there's a detail, finally, that I love very much, especially in the John 9 story. Right near the end, there is this vessel full of sour wine. When you read the whole of John's Gospel, that vessel was there in chapter 1, it was there in chapter 3, it was there in chapter 4. It goes all the way through, except it just looks different. Back in chapter 2, the vessels were those empty 6 stone jars full of water, or that were empty, first of all, and then filled with water that becomes wine. And behind them is a bride and a groom that just want to fill each other up on their wedding night. There's empty vessels and vessels that are potentially going to be full of love for one another. And Jesus is in the middle of it, bringing joy. There was the Samaritan woman at the well. Yeah, go get your husband. No, you don't have one yet. There's been 6, and nobody has loved you like a husband yet. But I will, if you let me. There's the guy that gets thrown out of the synagogue simply for allowing himself to be healed and getting in the middle of a controversy over it. He's the vessel that's being healed. There's that vessel, that tomb that had Lazarus in it, that was full of death, and Jesus stood in front of it, and at the risk of his own life, through his tears, reaches into it and says, "Lazarus, come out," and trades places with him because it's not going to stay empty. There's enough anger there that this is going to be part of what does him in. But then, all the way at the foot of the cross, right at the end, there's this vessel, and it's full of sour wine. But he says, "I'm thirsty. There's one last thing I need to do. I need to drink this one last sip." In John, it's a deathbed, the cross. It's a spouse living a marriage vow, faithful to the end. It's Jesus the bridegroom, loving the whole universe to death and saying, "I just need this one last drop." He takes one sip of this bitter wine and says, "It's consummated. It's complete. My heart is full of love for all of you, and nothing will separate us." Because the vow that says, "Until death do us part," yeah. But stay tuned. And not very long. Stay tuned. Tonight's the night that's about death. But it only gets to be one out of 365. And even this one, we call it good. Because death doesn't even get to call the shots on Good Friday. Not when the compassionate love of Christ is pulsing, cascading, oozing, flowing through it. Full of love and compassion for any suffering that any of us could ever undergo.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director, Gary Glover. With music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the 3rd floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.